Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
To bring forth God's word. Now, when Pastor Adam, when he asked me to give a message, my response is always the same, yes. Have I ever not said yes? It's always yes. It's always yes. And I always am honored and excited about it. And this particular excited about subject. Can you hear me? Or am I coming in and out? How's that? Better? Better? A little lower? Sounding good? All right. I'm really excited about this one in particular because this particular one, you know what the name of it is? Jesus' mission. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. You know what this makes up for? The one that I had to preach on hell? Do you remember that one? We got through it, guys. I mean, we got through it. But I'll tell you, it just doesn't get any better than this one on Jesus' mission. I mean, just saying his name gets me excited. So PA, as my mentor, he always teaches me, I want you to start with a story. So I have a story, right, that I'm going to start with. Now, this was back, and I was at my gym one day, and I'm doing an exercise class. Now, has anyone ever done kickboxing? You ever know what a kickboxing class is? It's very intense. It's a lot of really strong movements, and you're kicking your legs out, and it's almost like you're in a fight mode. Now, at the time, I was in the dance ministry, and in the dance ministry, a lot of the movement we did, we were taught it was spiritual warfare. So I am in this class with about 20, 25 women, and I don't hear the words, but the music is going, and I am getting all pumped up, and my spirit is rising up. And the next thing you know, I'm yelling out, Jesus! Jesus! At the top of my lungs. Well, the people are like, okay, who is this lady? I mean, no one can say that I'm lacking in enthusiasm. What would you say, right? Compared to what I must have been like as a little kid. But you know what it all boils down to? There is power in Jesus' name. It is the name above every name. The enemy must flee in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in his name. So I just love saying his name. And you know, scripture tells us there's salvation in his name. In the book of Acts 4, it says, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus. And you know what Jesus' own words, you know what he said? The Son of Man, he called himself the Son of Man because he was fully God and fully man. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to seek the lost. Every other religion, it has you climbing your way into heaven. It has you trying to work your way into heaven. But Jesus, just as PA had said so many times, he came down. He came down. God came down to be with us. Jesus' mission came from the very heart of God. So I'll take us from the scripture we all know so well. You know, it talks about God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. But the bottom line, you know how many people don't even know they're lost? There are so many people, they have no idea they're lost. They're sitting in churches, and they've sat in churches. They're sitting there today. They sat in there all their lives and don't know they're lost. And I found this out early on as a Christian because I used to go and I'd minister in the nursing homes. And I would minister to these people, and I would ask them, listen, do you think you're going to heaven? And most of the time they said yes. And then I would say, well, why do you think that? And I can't tell you how many times they said, because I'm a good person. Wrong answer. No mention of Jesus. Now, if they were to stand before the judgment seat of God, which we all will, and said, I think I can get into heaven because I'm a good person, it would not open up door number one. And we know what door number two is. It would not, but they didn't realize. They had heard it, but they never truly understood it. And scripture tells us people perish for a lack of knowledge, not understanding who Jesus is and why he came. So So that's what my message is about today. I love it. I was excited. Thank you so much. Again, thank you for inviting me to bring this forth. Now, Jesus, one of the things he referred to himself was the Good Shepherd. Now, anybody, how many of you are doing the Bible in a year with us? How many of you can't wait to get to the New Testament? Please. Well, we hear about all the kings that did evil in the eyes of the Lord and the shepherds that led them astray. Well, to Jesus came and said, I'm the Good Shepherd. That's what he called himself. And he said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Jesus, he called himself the Good Shepherd. And you know what got me to thinking about our pets? And you know who I thought about? Bentley. A story about Bentley. Do we have a picture of Bentley up there? Look at that sweet face. And the little one is Marshall. Well, here's Bentley, right? Do anybody remember when we came and we went on the picnic and we got to bring our dogs? We got to bring our creatures with us, right? So Pastor Adam, PA, he brings Bentley. Bentley is a happy camper. He's right by PA's side, just hanging out with him. Pastor Adam had to leave for a minute. He leaves me with Bentley. The dog was totally freaked out. He says, where is my master? Where is Adam? I'm trying everything. I'm talking to him. I'm trying to pet him. He was inconsolable. He wanted no part of me. But as soon as he came back, the dog, his whole demeanor changed. He felt safe. He had a peace on him. He knew, yes, I'm here with a bunch of strangers. I don't know anybody. I don't know where I am. But my master is here. Adam is here. I know he'll take care of me. I know he'll feed me. I know he's going to take me home. And you know, the parable said, no one can snatch us out of his hands. Can you imagine if someone tried to take Bentley out of PA's hands? I mean, he's ready to beat somebody up if they flip him the bird. I mean, never mind, take his dog. Can you imagine? I mean, and Jesus said, no one is going to snatch you out of my hand. That's what he said, very clear. And he also said, my sheep, they hear my voice. They recognize my voice. And they listen to me. Well, I guess, you know, PA gets to show pictures of his favorite beasts. I get to show a picture of my favorite doggies. Remy, my Remy and my Kimmy. Do you see them? Aren't they beautiful? We're going to have a doggy contest later. But anyway, I watch them. My Dawn, she invites me over. Me and my husband, we go to watch them, you know, for a week at a time. They follow me everywhere that when I'm there. So one day, but the dogs are in the living room, Dawn's in the kitchen, and I call, and the speakerphone is on. So my voice is coming out over it, and the dogs come barreling in the kitchen. Why? Because they know the sound of my voice. I wasn't there, but they heard it, and they came. They know the sound of our voice. And that's what Jesus said. You hear my voice. You can recognize it. And you do. You start to recognize it. Now, is it this loud, booming voice? It can be. But normally, it's a voice. It's different than what you're thinking. And you know his voice, and you recognize it. And that's what the dogs, they heard me, and they come barreling in there. Well, this is a great parable. And, you know, really, it's one that's really explaining salvation. So I'm going to take us to another part of it. This is John 10 and 7. He said, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. But I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Whoever enters through me, Jesus says, I'm the gate. You can get in through me. So, you know, as I was, you know, studying this to, you know, to teach on it, again, I had another flash of being at my daughter's house watching the dogs. So I'm there and I'm watching. Now, they have cats also. And as PA would say, they're the backsliders in the group, the cats. I look at Dawn, no, not my kitties. You have to get used to it. I'm not saying that. I'm just quoting PA. This is Pastor Adam. I didn't say that, no, but he, you know. But anyway, I feed them all, you know. I mean, I feed them, you know. So I, part of the cats, I feed them inside and I feed them outside. So it's on the morning, I go out to feed the cats, open the sliding door by the pool, I'm out there. And you know that safety lock on the sliding glass door, that one that's like this? I hear, binga, down it goes. I am locked out, the house is fenced in, the whole backyard is fenced in. I do not have my cell phone. My husband is not due home for hours. And I'm like, how am I gonna get out of here? You know, I remember, okay, there's a gate, there's a gate. I go over to the gate, big padlock on the gate. I am not getting out. I said, okay, another idea. I go and I get a chair, please, a lawn chair, drag it over there, get on the chair. I am thinking, I'm gonna scale this fence. I am actually contemplating scaling this fence. My leg is coming up and I have visions of myself stuck up there, right? And I'm thinking, even if I can get up, there's no chair on the other side. I'm gonna have to jump down, right? So I figured I gotta vacate this plan, right? I get down from the chair. I look, the big padlock is there. Then I see a pin. I said, no, it couldn't possibly be that easy, could it? It was. I took the pin, I lifted it up, the gate opened. And that's how simple Christianity is. It is that simple. It's faith in Jesus that he came down from heaven. He paid the debt for our sin. When we receive him as our Savior, God sees us through his righteousness. But the one thing, that what Jesus really talked about a lot, and we can't forget, when he explained salvation, you know how he explained it? As a personal relationship. He came as a man, and he came to us that we would know him. And these were Jesus' words. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Now, if those people in the nursing home, if they had truly known Jesus personally, would they have stood there and said, because I'm good enough? No way. No way. And Jesus is saying, it's about me. It's about knowing me. He's saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. You don't have to climb over the fence. But as you receive me, you will receive eternal life. Jesus was so intentional in everything that he did. It was always strategically planned. He was led. He always looked to his Father for guidance. He was always in tune with him. And so when he went and when he was going to really publicly declare who he was, he strategically planned it and he went back. It was in actually his hometown of Nazareth. And while he was there, sometimes they would let just the, you know, the average person could get up and read from the scroll, and they were going to allow Jesus to do that. So they gave him the scroll, and it was right in Isaiah. It was right to the place that it was supposed to be. And so Jesus read from Luke 4:18-19. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he walked and he sat down, and all eyes are upon him, and he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in me. He was saying, I am the Messiah. I am the one you have been waiting for. And he's saying, the Spirit of God, the presence of God is upon me. And that power of God, it wasn't so much he was empowered because he was the Son of God. He was empowered because of the power and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit that anointed him for his work down here. So he was anointed for a specific reason, to tell the good news, to preach the good news, that he was the Messiah, that he came to reconcile them back to God. But it's so much more than that. Salvation, I want you to know today, salvation is so much more than opening the door to heaven. Because Jesus is bringing so much more into our lives. He said, I have come to bring healing. I've come to heal those broken hearts. I have come to set the captives free. I have come to bring healing physically. I have come that blind eyes will see. And I have come to say, this is the day of the Lord's favor. This is the day of salvation. He stood there that day as the Messiah. He stood there that day saying, I'm here, I'm coming. But he said, he stopped there. Because in the book of Isaiah, you know what else it would have said in the prophecy if he was to continue? And the vengeance of my God. But why did he stop? Why did he stop there at the acceptable year and God's favor? Because this was the year of him coming. When he was talking about the vengeance of our God, you know what that is? What is that, P.A.? It's his second coming. P.A. talked about that. That's his second coming. But this was not. He had come. He came that day as the Prince of Peace. He came that day as the Lamb of God. He came that day as the light that came into the world. But when he comes back the second time, he'll come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is coming, and he's coming, and he's bringing judgment then. But not today. Not today. We live in the day of the salvation of the Lord. God chose us to be born now. Are you happy to be born now? Would you have wanted to be born any other time? I certainly wouldn't have wanted to be in the Old Testament, right? I mean, look at where we are, and God is here with us. So he came, yes, to bring salvation, but this time he came to also to bring healing to all of us. He said he healed the brokenhearted. There is not one amongst us that hasn't experienced a broken heart. Think about it, and it might have been as a child when you were hurt. You may have been bullied. It could have been harsh words that were spoken to you, even by your parents or around you. You could have been abandoned. You could have been just so many different things, the loss of a loved one that broke your heart. But Jesus said, I have come to heal every wound. Every wound that you have experienced from living in a broken world. How do I know that? I know it because he healed my broken heart. He healed my heart of every wound that has ever been inflicted upon me. I can think back to everything, and there's total healing there. Now, did that happen immediately? No. Did it happen overnight? No. Did it happen the moment that I received Jesus as my Savior? No. But you know when it happened? It happened as I got to know Jesus. Because that's what eternal life is, that we would know him. He healed me as I learned to worship him, as I would come and be in his presence or kneel at his feet. He healed me as I talked to him. Because he opened the door that we can speak to him, that just like I can talk to my husband, we can talk to Jesus because he's right there with us. And he healed me because his voice was the one that got louder. Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice. They hear my voice and they follow me. So all those harsh words, they were buried. They were healed. I didn't believe them anymore. Because Jesus' voice was the loudest voice. And he has come to heal every wound that we may have. And he healed me from when my heart was shattered just from experience betrayal. And he wants to do that for every one of us. Do you know what have you experienced this in your life, that healing touch? And it's there for all of us. And it will come. More and more, but it comes as we draw near to him. And it comes because you've learned how to forgive. Forgiveness is the key to healing. We can only be healed to the degree that we forgive. pain will only be released by the measure that we have forgiven. Because you know what unforgiveness does? In any level, it traps the pain in your heart. It traps the pain in there. And what you realize is forgiveness, there's a huge payoff to forgiveness. It's a huge payoff, because with forgiveness, the healing touch of God will come. And as you forgive, those layers of healing will come more and more. And you know what unforgiveness is? As I was thinking about it and praying, you know what God showed me? You know what unforgiveness is? It's a scab. It's a man-made scab that we put over a wound. Now, say you have a hurt, right, on your hand. You go to touch it, it hurts. But you put a scab over it, it doesn't hurt as much, right? But does it still hurt? Yeah. And it will continue to hurt. It will continue to be there until total forgiveness comes and the scab is removed and healing comes. But when you realize that, just what can happen through forgiveness, it becomes this priority and it opens the door to total healing. And that is there, and I'm sure we've all experienced to a degree, but God wants us to experience it big time. He wants us to let go of even a trace of unforgiveness in our lives. And you know how you know? Some people say, well, I think I've forgiven people, you know, and to a degree, I'm sure we have. But you know how you know that you've totally forgiven anything from your past, from anyone, it could have happened yesterday, is when you think about it, if there's no pain, there's no shame, there's no anger. Any one of those emotions rise up in you, you know it's not healed and there is a certain amount of unforgiveness that's trapping it. So I want us to take a moment and bow our heads, and I want you to ask the Lord to show you if there's anything recent or bring to mind incidents that happened in your life and see, is there pain? Is there shame? Is there anger? Lord, by your Holy Spirit, I pray you are revealing to each and every one. You're bringing up those incidents. You're bringing up those faces. Even if it's a small level of unforgiveness that's trapping it there, show us, Lord. Show us by your Holy Spirit. God, you know, we hear the sound of his voice. He leads us. The Holy Spirit does reveal those things to us. But then you say, okay, cool, what do I do now? You know, what do I do with it? When you realize it, the first thing is to be willing to let it go. It's a matter of free will. We're given free will, and it's a will to let it go. And you know what the will is? You realize what the payoff is. You realize something so much better waiting for you. And it's freedom from the pain. It's freedom from the shame. It's freedom from the anger. It's freedom that's there. And so what happens is forgiveness starts to become a priority. And once you've experienced something big, you'll want to keep on doing it, because you'll feel that freedom. And I know people besides myself that experienced. If you can ask Marge for one that I know that's experienced this big time. Candy is another, and I know there's many others that have. But once you know it, and it's letting it go, and how do you do it? It's a priority, and you go to the Lord, and you talk to him, and he is the one that will heal it. Because if you desire, he gives us the desires of our heart. God says, delight yourself in me, I'll give you. And if the desire is your heart to forgive, he will show you how to forgive. And what he'll do, you know what will happen? He'll remove that scab of unforgiveness. And what will happen, his healing hand will come upon it. And what will happen is you'll start to see things from a different perspective. You'll see things in your past from a different perspective. You'll see them through God's eyes. You'll see them through mercy. You'll see them through grace. You'll see them through compassion. And once you do, I'll tell you, I'd much rather feel compassion than anger or shame. I'm telling you, I am a shameless woman. I truly am a shameless woman. I am. It's awesome. It is an awesome way to be. I love it. And there's only one reason, because Jesus said, I'm taking all that shame. No, you don't have to hold. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to let you see yourself through my eyes, and then I'm going to show you others through my eyes, so you'll have the same compassion for them. So that healing is there for all of us. And what happens is the peace of God, that's what, rather than that on top of it, you know, that scab that's on there, it's like being in a bubble. It's like being in a bubble, and it is an awesome bubble to be in. You know, we have to realize that Jesus did not come to bring a new religion. No, no, no. He came to bring grace. He came to bring forgiveness. He came to bring healing. What does religion do? It weighs us down. What does unforgiveness do? It weighs us down. Religion, and can we still come to the Lord and still have a religious attitude? Yeah, if we're still trying to climb that fence to be good enough, you're still trying to climb that fence. Jesus says, no, you don't have to climb that fence anymore, trying to perform, trying to find your worth in other things. Do I have to remind myself to get off the fence? Does anybody here still try to climb that fence? I know I do. But when I do, he showed me, jump off. You don't have to. Come and look to me. I'm the gate. Yeah. Jesus said, you don't have to carry that weight anymore. And I love the scripture that he talked about in Matthew. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The yoke that he was talking about was back in his day, and I think they still do it today, is like the farm animals. They would put them together. They would harness them together, the oxen in particular. And it was showing the two of them together, and it would have a plank of wood between them and a loop around them. So they didn't have to carry this weight on their own. And so Jesus is saying, you're yoked with me. He was painting this picture. You don't have to carry that weight anymore, that weight of unforgiveness, that weight of sin, that religious trying to be good enough. I'm here. Walk with me. Because, you know, in his day, when he came, people were really heavy laden from religion. Think about the Pharisees. What did they know back then? What did they know? The law of Moses. So they were constantly trying to live up to the law and never really being good enough. They never felt they were good enough. So it was a constantly not feeling good enough. So they would point their fingers at others and saying, you're not good enough. So, and just feeling inadequate. But God said, no, I've come to take that burden off of you. I will carry those burdens. Saying, walk with me. I will teach you my ways, not by the letter of the law, but because I'll lead you there. I'm going to bring you there. I'll guide you to these places. So that's what he's saying to us today. He's going to bring us back to the place he originally created us to be. Now, where were they in the Garden of Eden? They walk with God in the cool of day. They had the same peace that Bentley felt. Bentley was a happy camper. As with Adam right next to him, he was safe. We weren't made to be independent. We were made, created to be dependent upon our Maker. Yes. And Bentley was fine, as soon as Adam left, he was inconsolable. Inconsolable. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. As soon as they sinned, they were separated from God. And they were inconsolable, and they tried everything else, but nothing was going to work. But Jesus came. He said, I came to reconcile you back, to bring you back. And when I do, I'm bringing healing. I'm bringing healing to you. I'll bring healing, physical healing. I'll break blind eyes, will see. I've come to break anything off of you, to deliver you. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's authority in my name. All those things that have a strong hold on you, they don't have to have a hold on you. No, if I become the strongest hold in your life, I have to become. Can you see him? Can you see him next to you, walking with you? Can you see him holding on to you so tightly everywhere you go, ready to talk to, ready about anything? He'll never lead us into temptation. He'll lead us away. He'll fulfill us. He's always there with us. He's saying, no one can snatch you out of my hand. Just let them try. And what, you know what it is? What holds us to him? It's his love. He loves us. And his love, it's hard for us even to comprehend how wonderful his love is, because it's so much greater than human love. Human love, we live in a broken world, and human love is flawed. It is. We disappoint one another. We hurt one another. Why do you think there are so many marriages that fail? Why? Because we are flawed. God's love is perfect. God's love is pure, but ours isn't. Now, I'm not saying that you should stay in an abusive relationship, no. But we have to realize how imperfect we are. And if forgiveness and grace is not at the very core of all of our relationships, they'll fail. Because what'll happen is all those scabs for every disappointment will just come on that. For every hurt that'll keep forming, big and small, until you get to the point that you've lost touch with your feelings. So I'm saying this to everyone that's here, every young couple that just got married. Don't, please, any of us that have been married long, may forgiveness and grace mark our marriages. May forgiveness and grace mark every one of our relationships. Everyone, because none of us are perfect. And if I keep this up, I'm going to lose one of my eyelashes. So, but it's the forgiveness that brings healing. And it's the grace that lets them stop climbing that fence. It's like let people off the fence. You know, your expectation of how they're supposed to be. We have to let each other get off of the fence. And yes, two, yes, we have to set perimeters in our relationship, have good communications about, you know, our needs, but it has to have grace and forgiveness, or those scabs will form. They will. Jesus came not only to reconcile us to God, he came to reconcile us to one another, that we would start to learn about love. We would start to learn how to love. They say in marriage, Christ should always be at the center, because it's pure love, it's forgiveness, it's grace. All of our relationships should be marked with Christ at the center, in our marriages, with our children, our parents, everyone, our friends, with each other. I remember the day that I first knew what it was to be reconciled to God. It was right here, not in this building, but this very same church. God kept us here at the same church all these years. And I came in, and the presence of God was thick, so thick. And I prayed this beautiful, simple prayer of faith and asked Jesus to come into my heart. I asked him to be my Savior, and my journey began. I really didn't understand what had happened to me, really. All I knew was I went in one way, I came out another. I came home looking like a raccoon because my mascara had gone all down my faith. But I knew I was different. But the girl that brought me there, she followed up with me. And she put a God's Promise book in my hand. And in this God's Promise book was the Word of God. And because my spiritual eyes had been opened, it became real to me, right? She put a CD in my hand. And the CD, there was a song that said, "You've got a hole in your heart only God can fill." And I knew that was me. I kept, you know how a teenager plays that song again and again and again? That's what I did. And then I got understanding. I started to get understanding of what that meant, that I did have a hole in my heart that only God could fill. And he had, because at the moment of salvation, his presence come to dwell into me. And I started to get an understanding, not of who Jesus is, but who I am and why I am here. I started to realize that I am a child of the Most High God, that I am loved with an everlasting love. Yes, that I am the head and not the tail, that I am a new creation, that I am an ambassador for Jesus. And I started to realize that Jesus' mission, it's my mission. And Jesus' mission is your mission. You know why? Because I am yoked to Jesus. And when I step out, he steps out with me. And I am anointed to preach the gospel. I have the same authority on me in the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus, there is power and there is authority in his name. So when I declare it, we will see people get saved. I too, in the name of Jesus, will see people get healed, and so will you. I too, and so can you, see captives set free. And it starts with us. He'll set us free. And then we are free. We are out there wherever we are, and we are. God will use us to set others free. And we live in the best time. We live in the year of the favor of God. It is here.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.